E.B. Elliott's on the Nautical Mile in Freeport is bringing us T-Bone and Frannie Mae. And there is a house party in Setauket featuring Claudia Jacobs. And if you'd like to have your gig announced here, just send an email to scene, S-C-E-N-E, at WUSB.FM. And thanks to Jim for helping us revive Concert Billboard.
That can't be the same Claudia Jacobs, could it? Well, if so, hi. It's 6:02, and it's time, once again, on WUSB Stony Brook, for me to give a legal ID and say that it's time, once again, for Off the Wall.
West Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the tree.
Clinton Country.
Younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country road, take me home to the place.
Yes, West Virginia is in the news today.
Take me home, country road.
As once again, it's primary day, except this time it's primary day in West Virginia and only West Virginia, with a full 28 delegates being portioned out. And Hillary Clinton is going to kick Barack Obama's ass. Oh my God, did you see the percentages?
Misty days of moonshine, teardrops in my eyes, country roads, take me home to the place I belong, West Virginia.
Okay, that's the last West Virginia reference.
Take me home.
I really don't like this song. I like the reggae version where they say West Jamaica instead of West Virginia. And I really hate this part of it. All respect for the dead and all that. But how did he die again? I keep thinking he slammed himself into a tree while skiing. That was Sonny Bono, wasn't it? For some reason, I mixed them up. And also, it was a Kennedy, too. One of the Kennedys did that, I think, the same week. He dived his plane into the ocean or something. Right. And didn't the Kennedy do that, too? My God. All right, we have one last West Virginia reference. Here we go.
West Virginia.
Okay, enough. That's our John Denver quota for my life, I think. And I'm just thrilled with that. Yes, today it's West Virginia primary day. And, yeah, for some reason, well, actually, I guess we can figure it out pretty easily. Hillary Clinton enjoys a really handy lead, in such, I guess, impoverished places. And people are trying to analyze this, saying that Barack Obama has a big problem because all these angry white people will not vote for him come November. And I just, you know, I don't buy that. I don't understand how that's even, possible. If you look at the facts, all right, the biggest issue amongst most people these days is the economy. Now, personally, I think what we're doing overseas is a bigger deal, but I can see why people would be upset at what's going on with the economy. Now, come November, how is anybody, especially in states like West Virginia, Kentucky, places that have really felt it badly, how could they possibly vote for somebody who represents how that happened? In other words, 8 years of Bush. That's why the economy is in the toilet, because of that, because of all the money spent on adventurism overseas, because of the way that that ordinary people like you and me have been ignored. That's why the economy is falling apart. That's why people are losing their homes. So do you really think people in places like West Virginia, in places like Kentucky, in places like Ohio and Pennsylvania, do you think they are so dumb, so narrow-minded, as to say, well, this guy's black, and we're afraid of that, so we're going to vote for McCain because he's more or less what we used to? Now, I don't know if that's necessarily the logic. That's sort of what's being presented over the mass media. Maybe they'll vote for McCain for some other reason, but whatever reason they choose to vote in the same thing, it's got to be a big mistake. It's digging your own grave. There's no question about it. What about Barack Obama would be so frightening to these people? What is so different about Barack Obama than from Hillary Clinton? I don't see it. I don't see it as something that is going to keep the people who are voting for Hillary Clinton today in West Virginia by, a margin of something like 43%, something huge like that, bigger than, I think, anything she's ever had. Not as big as some of Obama's leads, for sure, but definitely the biggest for Clinton. Now, is there anything about Barack Obama that would make people prefer John McCain, those people who are voting for Hillary Clinton in droves? I don't think so. I think they're just given the choice between the two Democratic candidates. They'd rather have Hillary Clinton. And, okay, fine. But does that translate to the state going red, red as in Republican, in November? It's really a good thing that the Democrats didn't get the red label, isn't it? But I have some faith in people. I have some faith in people from all over. I just don't think anyone is that stupid. I really don't. But, you know, I'm willing to be proven wrong. I've been proven wrong many times before, that's for sure. So I guess we'll just have to see. Have to see what happens. Expect a blowout today. Now, keep in mind what that means. There's a total of 28 delegates. If Hillary Clinton were to win by a huge margin, like she's apparently going to do, of the 28 delegates, maybe she gets, let's be generous. Let's say she gets 20. And Barack Obama gets 8. You see, that she just basically gains a few delegates, not very many at all. So it doesn't mean anything as far as the numbers go. What it might mean something about is perceptions for the future. And if people in the rest of the country decide to panic and to view this as significant for November. It's easy to do that. It's easy to fall into that trap, but I just don't think it's right. I don't know. I'd like to hear from some people tonight. We'll take phone calls a little bit later on. I know we have listeners in West Virginia. We've heard from them before, so by all means, those of you in the 304 area code, yes, I know, give us a call later on. 631-632-9872 is our telephone number. And if you know somebody in West Virginia, we'd like to hear from them as well. Give them a call and ask them to contact us because, their opinion matters. Your opinion matters, too. We'd like to hear from everybody. It goes on and on. Personally, I don't see it lasting much longer. I don't see how it can last much longer because I just get the sense that the mood seems to have changed out there where people realize that it just can't possibly add up. Barack Obama has surpassed Hillary Clinton now in the superdelegate count, and that's the first time that's ever happened. So now she's behind in the popular vote, she's behind in the delegate vote, she's behind in the superdelegate vote. West Virginia, it's not going to be enough. But it is something that should be looked at, and I'd like to ask the people of West Virginia if there is a real problem with Barack Obama, or if they're just simply picking one of two people that they prefer, and come November, they'll pick the second choice. Yeah, here's the thing. I know lots of people who support Clinton for one reason or another. Some of them are unashamedly saying they're not ready to see a black man in power in the White House. And, you know, I got a real problem with that, obviously. For one thing, he's only half black, all right? He's half white, too. But that kind of a statement, that kind of a feeling, you got to ask yourself, where are you coming from, you know? I mean, you could easily turn around and say, well, we're not ready to have a woman in the White House. well, we're not ready to have somebody over 70 in the White Wall. We've done that before. And one way or another, some minority is going to be represented in the White House, whether it be a senior citizen. Are they a minority? I don't know. A female or an African-American. One of them is going to be in the White House. There's nothing we can do about that, apparently. But I have a problem with that kind of sentiment. But at least they're picking somebody who does stand for some degree of change. Whether there's a significant degree, I don't really think so. I say Hillary Clinton is doing many of the same things that her predecessors have done, and basically pandering to people, and basically the same story, different face. Barack Obama, it's a few years before that happens. Right now, I still see some idealism. They'll be quick to snuff that out when he's in power, but for now, I do see a different face. I do see a different way of approaching things. So that does matter for something. But, you know, you pick Clinton, that's at least you're picking some kind of a change, whether it's just symbolic. But we're going to have a problem in November. I'm talking to these people who have talked to me and said they're not ready to see somebody like Barack Obama in the White House. If come November you're telling me that and saying that you're going to support John McCain because you're not ready for somebody like Obama, yeah, we're going to have words. We're going to have some heated discussions, because now I cannot abide that. I'm sorry. Anybody who sits there and says that they want more of what they've just gotten. They're taking the beating in school, in one of those stupid clubs, and saying, "Please, sir, may I have another?" And I sure don't want another 4 years of this. And I can't imagine why you would, too. If you are even considering yourself as being somewhat progressive or just wanting something different, then you had better vote for something different and not the same, because you're afraid of God knows what. I really don't understand what people are afraid of. What, 1,000 Reverend Wrights being let loose? I mean, that's really the impression that I get, is that Vice President Al Sharpton, what do you think is going to happen? This isn't Looneyville we're talking about. We're talking about sane people, probably the sanest people around, that will stand for real change. I'm very curious who Barack Obama nominates as his vice presidential candidate. It's got to be somebody who will appeal to states like West Virginia and Kentucky. You know who it's going to be? I know who it's going to be. I've said this before, but it really has to be John Edwards, right? It has to be. He hasn't come out and endorsed anybody yet. I think he did say, though, that it would be impossible for Clinton to win. Did he say something like that? So, okay, say it. Obama Edwards. You got the two vowels meeting, but other than that, I think it works. Picturing the bumper stickers, yeah. Obama Edwards. You could do this. You could have that Obama Edwards 08. Obama Edwards 08. You have two O's in the same phrase, but no, it works. It works. As opposed to, who's McCain going to pick? McCain Quayle 08? I don't know. this will be a great contest to have. But, yeah, I think it's got to be Edwards. And I really just made the whole processing of the thought right now. Can't be Gore, because I don't know why it can't be Gore, but it just can't be Gore. I think he already said he wasn't going to run or be a nominee of any sort. But Edwards I could see, and Edwards would appeal to those people. Those people who are afraid, those people who feel that Obama doesn't represent them. And he brings this youthful energy that Obama also brings. So I could see that really working. All right, so those people in the Obama campaign who are still listening to us, and again, we're sorry for the Hope.net confusion, but those of you who are still listening to us, can you please just pass that along so that it goes to the right people? That I think that's a good idea, and that's what you should run with. And seriously, as soon as Hillary Clinton drops out, which will probably be 2, maybe 3 weeks, announce then, because then you sort of build up the momentum. Don't wait for the convention. I think that might be a little too late. Okay, good. We're making progress tonight. But seriously, those of you out there even thinking of voting for McCain. I want to have some serious words with you. I mean, there are those of you who are lost already. I know I won't ever reach you, but there are others that there might be a shot. Okay, what else do we have to talk about today? Rising gas prices. How much fun is this, really? This is what we're facing. These are the problems that Americans have today. Service stations, gasoline service stations, are running into a problem as gasoline marches towards $4 a gallon. Actually, I'm paying more than $4 a gallon for diesel for the smart car. And I put premium in my other car, which is it's a good idea to put premium in your car. I've always done this, and my engines last much longer than other people that I know. And I drive my cars hard. I do. I really do. People have said, Emmanuel, you're treating this car like an animal. And, yeah, it's true. It's true. I believe in getting every last possible bit of performance. Yes. I put premium in my cars because it just makes the engines run better, and, yeah, it's more expensive. So I've already paid over $4 a gallon for premium. So I know what it's like. I've been there. But what I'm not doing, I'm not putting $100 into the car because I'm not driving a tank. Had the same economical vehicle since 1993, and it gets better gas mileage than what they're putting out today. It's unbelievable. But anyway, here's the problem. Some small service stations are having an issue because gasoline's marching towards $4 a gallon, and thousands of the old-fashioned pumps can't register more than $3.99 on their spinning mechanical dials. I don't understand what kind of spinning mechanical dial only goes up to $3. Does that make any sense? They don't really explain this very well. Now, these pumps are throwbacks to a bygone era on the American road. They're difficult and expensive to upgrade, and replacing them is often out of the question for station owners who are still just scraping by. And many of these same pumps can only count up to $99.99 for the total sale, preventing owners of SUVs, vans, trucks, and other gas guzzlers to fill their tanks all the way. Okay, you know what? I'm not Einstein. I never said I was. And there are many people who will back me up on this. But how hard is it to get to $99.99, stop, restart, and just do it twice? It doesn't prevent you from filling your tank all the way. You just have to do it again. You reach the maximum. Stop, put your credit card in again, start again. Huh? Yeah, I see people all over the place nodding, saying, hey, you know what? That could work. That could work. All right, see? You learn something from the radio. Don't go to that satellite thing. Unless they put us on it. So, yeah, as many as 8,500 of America's, how many? 170,000, that's correct, 170,000 service stations have old-style meters that need to be fixed. About 17,000 individual pumps. Now, at Chip Colville's Chevron station in the eastern Washington town of, they don't say what the eastern Washington town is. They just, I guess, anonymously in this Associated Press story. Oh, there it is. It's the dateline of the story. Riordan, Washington. Okay, at Chip Colville's Chevron station in Riordan, Washington, where men and the family have pumped gas since 1919. Is that a family tradition? I mean, yeah, we're going to pump gas. That's what we're going to do, not only for our lives, but the lives of our children and grandchildren, because that's what we do. We're the Colvilles, and we pump gas. You know, I'm nothing against pumping gas. I know many people who have pumped gas. I know many people who do pump gas. But it's okay for the family to branch out into other things, you know, like, I don't know, pump gas, sell hardware, be a doctor, all sorts of things. You don't have to just do the same thing. And you know what else? You don't have to name all your kids the same thing. It's another issue I have with people. You're not making little replicants of yourself. You're making individuals, new people. Give them different names. Give them different aspirations. I mean, yeah, I can imagine Thanksgiving dinner is great when everyone's just talking about pumping gas over the years and the different ways they've done it. But you could have good conversations with, well, I'm a war trial lawyer, you know, and we just prosecuted George W. Bush the other day. Okay, mix that in with talk about pumping gas, and you have a really fun-filled evening. Just saying. Nothing against the Colvilles of Rear Dan, Washington, or against Chevron filling stations, or against American values, or gasoline, or war crimes, courts, and things like that. But seriously, we have to think about doing things differently. Where was I going with this? Oh, yeah, at the filling station, the Chevron station, where people have been doing this since 1919, were there cars then? I'm sure there were some cars, but there are already gas stations. Wow. Anyway, three stubby gray pumps were installed when gas was less than $1 a gallon. They top out at $3.999, only 30 cents above the price of regular gas at the station. And that's another thing. Why is it that every single gas station in the damn country does that stupid thing with 0.9 cents? I mean, come on. Are you kidding anybody? I mean, I have the same problem with things that are 99 cents. Obviously, it's a dollar. Why? I mean, we're not dumb. We're not that stupid. But particularly with gasoline, you just see it on every single pump. Nobody ever dares to deviate from this. Please, somebody show me a gas station where it's 0.6 cents or 0.8. Why does it have to be 0.1 cents in the first place? Just add that extra 0.1 cents and be done with it. And I'll bet the money you save making those signs with the fractions on it, you could put into upgrading your pumps. Which leads me to another point. Why? Why are the owners of the gas stations expected to foot the bill for this? Why don't the oil companies, the ones who are raising the price in the first place, and who own the gas station supposedly, and certainly own the gas, why aren't they springing for this? You know, it's really not fair to those people who are making less than anybody else. OPEC makes a ton of money. The oil companies make a ton of money. The people who actually run the gas stations, they don't make that much. You know, they do better selling snacks inside than selling the gas. Yeah, it's true. The gas is not really where they make their money. Yet somehow they're expected to upgrade their own pumps. Not fair. Not fair at all. If you raise the price, you should be handling the infrastructure as well. Anyway, in small towns where you don't have the volume, there's no way you can afford to pay for the replacements for these old pumps, said one of the Colvilles. It's just not economically feasible. And the problem's even worse in those really remote areas where there might only be one pump in town that people can access. And demand for replacements has caused a months-long backlog for companies that make or rebuild the mechanical meters, and that is just for stations that can afford the upgrade. Yeah, it's unbelievable. The new pumps, have you bought a new gas pump lately? Do you know how much they cost? Between $10,000 and $15,000 a piece. Yeah. It doesn't make sense to sell gas at a gas station anymore. But really, I don't understand. Can someone show me these meters that only go up to 3? I don't get that. I can understand. I remember when gas was under a dollar. I really can. I'm not that old, but I can remember that. And it was a problem because they had to add an extra digit. That was a big deal. That I could understand. But this is between 3 and 4. Not a lot of rocket science going on there to know that 4 follows 3. And in fact, they should be good all the way up to $10 a gallon, at least. We never seem to learn, do we? Okay, here's a story. This is a blockbuster story here. And I'm going to read the whole thing because it's an important story. And maybe we'll take some phone calls after this. But I want everybody to listen carefully. This is on the front page of a bunch of news sites. A Navy admiral... Ready? Right, is everybody ready for this? This is an important story, so please, I'd appreciate some attention. All right. A Navy admiral engaged in sexual relations in the White House in 1990 with a federal employee whom he falsely told he was a widower, according to a report released Friday by the Defense Department. In March, when the report was submitted to Pentagon officials, Rear Admiral John Stuffenbeam Like, this can't be right. John Stufflebeam. Yes, Stufflebeam. There's nothing funny about that name. Was demoted and fired from his post as director of the Navy. Why can't you just be fired before being demoted? Why do you even have to be demoted? Just fire. I mean, isn't the demotion sort of implied when you're no longer employed? All right, well, I guess they have a way of doing things. Demoted and fired from his post as director of the Navy staff. Now, Stufflebeam told investigators he couldn't remember the name of the woman he had an affair with. He also lied when he told investigators he did not engage in sexual relations with the woman identified as Jane Doe, the Defense Department's Inspector General's report said. Now, Jane Doe, who was then unmarried and working for a federal agency, told the investigators the allegations were true, according to the report. Her supervisor and Stufflebeam's superiors supported her testimony. Stufflebeam? If I have to say Stufflebeam one more time, I think I'm going to lose it. I really am. I've never had to say that name before. It's just it's difficult. Anyway, he was convicted April 18th of making false official statements to investigators. After the hearing, called an admiral's mast, I'm not kidding, I could not make this up, the hearing is called an admiral's mast. So if you're ever invited to an admiral's mast, it's a trap. Don't go. And after that, he requested retirement. Can you request retirement after being demoted and fired? Seems like you should get that before you get demoted or fired. How can you retire if you're fired? All right. Obviously, I'm very ignorant about these things. Jane Doe told investigators that she and Stufflebeam, sorry, it's hard, began their affair on an overseas trip in 1989, that the married admiral told her he was a widower who was raising his children as a single parent, and that they had sexual relations several times. This is written badly, including once in a White House room reserved for military aides with overnight duties. That's him and Jane Doe. She also told investigators that Stufflebeam came to her home on the day in August 1990 when she learned he was married and that she called him scum. Shut the door in his face and never spoke to him again. This is heavy stuff. We found Ms. Doe to be an extremely credible, candid, and articulate witness who willingly participated in our interview with the knowledge and support of her husband. Wait a minute. She's married? All right, maybe she got married afterwards. All right, it doesn't say. By contrast, the report said, Stufflebeam's testimony was inconsistent with the weight of the evidence, and it did not appear Stufflebeam's misstatements in these areas of testimony were inadvertent. At issue was Stufflebeam's removal from his post as a presidential aide in 1990. Stufflebeam testified that he initiated the request to leave his White House post because of close family personal problems. Well, I guess, you know, having an affair is a close family personal problem. His superiors testified that he was removed from the post because of his relationship with the woman and that he admitted the affair. Jane Doe's supervisor told investigators that when she learned of the affair from Doe... Wait a minute. Oh, Jane Doe's supervisor. Okay, I got really confused there. Jane Doe's supervisor told investigators that when she learned of the affair from Doe, she confirmed Stufflebeam's marital status and told Doe what she learned. Ms. Doe's reaction, according to the supervisor, was one of complete surprise and shock. The supervisor also said that she telephoned Stufflebeam's immediate supervisor to tell him of the affair, and that when she called a few weeks later to follow up, the supervisor told her that everybody in town knew Boomer was effing some bimbo at the federal agency. Stufflebeam, however, denied to investigators that he had a sexual relationship with Jane Doe, although he admitted to one kiss and said he had an inappropriate relationship with her because he told her about his marital problems. "I did not have sex with this woman," he said during one of two interviews with investigators. Although he told investigators he could not remember the woman's name, He testified that he had to live with shame for a long time after the inappropriate relationship ended, that he was racked with guilt and had a terrible time getting myself right with my family. So I have had a great 18-year career since I left the White House, he said, according to the report. If this is the end of it, then I still leave it rewarded. I still leave, rather, a rewarded individual, thankful for the blessings that I have had. Investigators found Stubblebeam's remarks inconsistent. In our view, comments regarding guilt, shame, and the end of a distinguished naval career are incongruous with a physical relationship limited to one kiss, they wrote in the report. This year, according to the report, the Inspector General's office provided Stubblebeam with its preliminary findings that he provided false and misleading testimony regarding the nature of his relationship with Jane Doe, his inability to recall her name, and his representation to her of himself as a widower. Stubblebeam responded with a vehement denial. I find it extremely regrettable, in a case that has such far-reaching implications for my career, that you have chosen to question my integrity, he wrote in a February 15th letter. The unfortunate truth in this case is that, as a result of lack of evidence to substantiate the allegation of a sexual relationship and in lieu of investigating the underlying allegations, you have chosen to accuse me of being untruthful as I defended myself against these allegations. Stubblebeam further castigated the investigators because at that time they had chosen not to interview Jane Doe in deference to Ms. Doe's privacy. According to the report, Doe readily agreed to testify when they contacted her after Stubblebeam's rebuttal. Ms. Doe confirmed that she and Stubblebeam had an extensive physical relationship which began on an overseas trip and lasted intermittently for approximately 8 months. The relationship included sexual intercourse on approximately one dozen occasions. To include intercourse during overseas travel in the White House and in her home. Doe also said Stubblebeam told her that his wife had died of breast cancer, that a woman who answered the phone when she called his home was the children's nanny, and that he continued to wear his wedding ring for his daughters, who missed their late mother. According to the report, the investigation began when investigators received an anonymous letter containing significant details about the affair. Investigators had received another such letter in 1999, but it contained no detail and was not investigated. Stubblebeam became well known in the initial months of the war in Afghanistan, where he often conducted on-camera television briefings as a Pentagon spokesman. He was then deputy director for global operations on the joint staff. He was commander of the 6th Fleet from May 2005 to September 2007. During that time, he was deputy commander of Naval Forces Europe, Joint Force Maritime Component Commander in Europe, Commander of Strike and Support Forces for NATO, and Allied Commander with Joint Command Lisbon. That, my friends, was the main news story over the weekend on such sites as CNN, amongst others. What in God's name is wrong with us? Some guy has an affair in 1989, and it's 20 years later. It's a major news story. He lied. He lied about his marital status. He had an affair with somebody so long ago who obviously has since moved on. Does this kind of thing not happen every single damn day? Are there not more important things going on in the world, perhaps, that we should be focusing our attention on, rather than who said what to whom when? I mean, yeah, you know, it sucks when people lie, and it shows that they're kind of sleazy. But, I mean, this guy already works for the military. That's been proven. You know, it's not something that we need to have investigations and reports and interminable news stories about. I'm sure, yeah, people care. People care about all kinds of nonsense. But this, my friends, this is a real waste of time. Everyone's time. There are some real important matters going on out there. Yeah, you know, this guy was a spokesperson for the operation in Afghanistan. That's something we should be focusing on. What's going on in Afghanistan? What's going on there? Have we even talked about that at all? Do we even know what's happening there? How many people have died in Afghanistan, both on our side and on whatever side we're fighting? And, of course, there's Iraq. And maybe some other places, too. That's news. Those are things we should be talking about. The fact that more people have died in these operations, many more people have died in these operations than in 9/11. And would any of them have died, would any more have died, had we decided to go about it a different way? That's the story. That's something worth discussing, but we're not. We're not discussing that. We're discussing whether one guy had an affair with one woman and lied about it to somebody. That's a big, major deal. What is wrong with us? We look at other countries. We look at their backwards way of viewing things like sexuality and family and things like that, and we think we're somehow superior. But in fact, we just focus on things that are really private issues that should be dealt with person to person. But we stick our big noses in and talk about this to death and completely lose sight of what's going on in the rest of the world. Speaking of the rest of the world, you know, a lot's been going on in the rest of the world over the last week. I think God is pissed. I really do. I mean, have you seen what's happening? I know we don't talk about it. We talk about things here, and obviously things here are more important to us because they're here. But to be honest, I'm here in New York, and I hear about a tornado in Oklahoma, and that's horrible. That's frightening. It's tragic. But I think 100,000 people dying in Myanmar, that, you know, that trumps it a bit. But you would never guess that watching our newscasts. They're both faraway places. Yes, one is full of Americans, one is full of foreigners. I know. But still, let's look at this from a perspective of humanity. And maybe it'll mean a little bit more then. But yeah, you know, we've had storms here, like we seem to have all the time, in places like Oklahoma and Missouri and Georgia. And it was windy here yesterday. Anybody catch the wind? Wow, it was something. I'm just trying to feel like I'm included somehow. But what happened in Myanmar with the cyclone? And by the way, people seem to think cyclones are tornadoes. They're not. Tornadoes have cyclonic winds. You'd have to be a meteorologist to be able to explain it properly. But a cyclone is more like a hurricane over there, from my understanding. I don't know why we don't just call it hurricanes so that people don't get all confused. But usually that happens in Bangladesh because of the low-lying areas. But this time it happened in Myanmar. Now, did anybody catch the news conference that Laura Bush had? It was over a week ago. It was incredible because she just refused to say the name of the country. She just kept saying Burma over and over again. And obviously there's some debate as to what the proper name of the country is. But just to get off on the right foot with the people that are running the country at the moment so that you can help and get the aid in there, maybe you should just call it the name that they like. Doesn't mean that you're embracing their way of life or giving them a pat on the back or something like that. But when you just keep saying Burma, Burma, Burma all over again, you know, right away, you're facing off. You're facing off against them. Once you're actually inside the country, you can start calling it Burma again if you want. But Myanmar, that's the name that it's known by now. Maybe someday it'll go back. And people are actually talking about, should the United States invade Myanmar with food. In other words, fly over the country without the permission of the people running the country and drop food on the people. Sounds nice. Sounds wonderful. Maybe some nations will drop food on us. Who knows? But it's not something that the United States should be doing. It's something maybe that an international organization, or I don't know, the United Nations perhaps, that's something they should take up. Whether it actually has come to this. But it's not for one country to do this for or to another country. But people seem to think that the United States has that right. For good or for bad. And it's just not true. Now, Myanmar is just one thing 2 days ago, there was an earthquake in central China. Last report I heard on the way in, at least 12,000 people killed. At least 12,000 people killed. Can you imagine that? We can't even conceive of things like that. Katrina, no comparison. The biggest terrorist act, 9/11, no comparison at all. Imagine that. In one day, all those lives snuffed out. Doesn't happen to us. Does not happen to us. Either because we're extremely lucky, because we have technology in the right places, because we maybe have some standards as far as architecture and where to build houses and where not to build houses. Who knows what the reasons are? But the end result is that we have this this bizarre way of looking at what's important and what's not important. We think the story about the guy having the affair, that's an important story. And we're completely oblivious to tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people killed in one event. Oblivious to it. We're oblivious to the fact that, half the world has no electricity. Think about that. Half the world, no electricity. I imagine somewhere around the same amount has no phones. Can we imagine living like that? Was it more like a third? Okay, it's more like a third of the world. A third of the world. We're talking billions of people. Maybe 2-3 billion people without power. That's reality. That's how a lot of people live their lives. Our reality is nothing like that. We have no sense of that. So it's just something to consider. You know, when we're bitching all the time about the petty things in our lives, about who said what to whom, and about our desires and aspirations and the hassles of getting through a busy day, it's just something we need to look at occasionally. Whenever I travel, I get a sense of it. I don't see enough of it, because I usually travel to industrialized places, but occasionally I'm in a place where it's just so very different. And you feel that. You feel that everything you've learned, all that you value, all that you possess, doesn't mean anything to so many people. The things that matter are just daily survival. Getting food, getting water, getting shelter. Those are daily struggles. We don't have to worry about that. It's all taken care of. We've reached that level where we don't have to worry. Maybe the day will come when we do have to worry. But right now, it's not even on the horizon for us to worry about. And until we start realizing how other people live their lives and what they go through, we're not going to be in tune with the rest of the world. And we're going to continue talking about nonsense stories like what I just read instead of the real issues that are going on. So, yeah, it's been a bad week for natural disasters, that's for sure. And you can't really predict these things. They just kind of happen out of left field. All right, I threaten to take phone calls, and I intend to keep that threat, so let me give the phone number out. It's, 631-632-9872. That spells 631-632-WUSB. And, this week I'm going to really try and get into delay the proper way without messing it up like I always seem to do. So let's try that right now.
Hi, I'm Gina from the Go-Go's, and you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook.
All right. Hopefully I didn't mess it up too badly. I think it actually worked this time. I think I learned from my mistakes. And that's an important thing, to be able to learn from your mistakes. I did it, didn't I? I did it. There's applause and everything. Oh, that's great. Thank you. Thank you very much. I couldn't have done it without the support of the people around me, who just kept hammering it into my head what I kept doing wrong. And that's always nice to know. Okay, so our phone number is 631-632-9872. Anything on your mind? Anything about the primary in West Virginia, the results, the election in November. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, I'm calling from wild and wonderful West Virginia.
You're calling from West Virginia? Oh, my God. The first call is from West Virginia. How about that?
Great.
So how are things over there today?
Well, I think the polls are right that Hillary is going to win. So we'll see.
Uh-huh.
I personally voted for Obama today, but I know a lot of people were supporting Hillary.
Okay, so those people that you know who are supporting Hillary, what do you think they're going to do come November, assuming that Obama is the candidate?
Most of them that I know that I'm friends with would vote for whoever's the Democrat.
They'll vote for whoever's the Democrat?
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, West Virginia has really been a Democrat-voting state up until 2000, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that's something a lot of people don't know, is that West Virginia has a history of voting Democratic. I think a lot of people would assume that because it's in the country, because it's got a lot of older people, that they'd go Republican. Do you know why that is?
Well, if you take a look at our local politicians, a lot of them are, you know, pro-life or anti-choice, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Against gun control and, you know, against environmental regulation. So a lot of them, even though they're listed as Democrats, are really more like Republicans. So I can see why people would see that. But, I mean, we voted for Clinton when it was his chance to come around. And so hopefully we'll, again, switch back to voting for the Democrat candidate.
Okay, if you had a message to say to the people in West Virginia that voted today, that maybe voted for Clinton, what would it be?
You know, don't let someone scare you because they're asking for change. I mean, that's what we need.
Okay, hey, thanks for calling. I'll be passing through your state actually in 2 days, so I'll be sure to beep the horn as I go through.
Okay.
Thanks again.
Take care.
A call from West Virginia. Ask and ye shall receive. All right, 631-632-9872. And yes, the 2600 van will be making its annual pilgrimage through West Virginia on its way to Dayton, Ohio. And that'll happen sometime, if you really want to line up for this, sometime at around, dawn in Wheeling, West Virginia. That's the way you're supposed to pronounce it, right? Wheeling, West Virginia is what we pass through usually. We usually stop and get coffee there because we're tired. But basically, the Dayton Hamvention takes place this coming weekend, and we like to get there on Thursday afternoon. So we usually start driving Wednesday night and just drive through the night and go through such places as New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, eventually Ohio. And it's a lot of fun. So if you're planning on being in Dayton, or if you can't avoid being in Dayton, please join us at the Dayton Hamvention. Or if you're anywhere along the way of, what is it, Route 70 or 76 or whatnot that... we drive along, by all means, line up in an orderly fashion along the side of the interstate and wave at us as we go by. All right, 631-632-9872. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Good evening. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you? Where are you calling from?
I'm Selden.
Selden, New York.
Selden, West Virginia, right.
Well, I know Selden, West Virginia, sir.
Eric, Emmanuel, just on the last point about the local, that man was saying, local politicians being maybe against environmental regs. In other words, let's take the one major polluter, the big industry, the coal industry, and this is my thing about just a dovetail. Democrats versus Republicans, all the big environmental polluters have to answer when the Democrats pass regulations. John F. Kennedy Jr. has done me stuff over the last 10 years. I believe the number is 3,000 regulations have been rescinded, repealed by the Bush administration. Back to this point, in West Virginia, can you not see the politicians selling the people the line that we'll give you more jobs? Those damn environmental regulations prevent us from giving you jobs. How do you like that for manipulation at the highest level?
Do you think that's how they're being manipulated?
I'm saying, look at how I say that again.
Do you think that's how the people of West Virginia are being manipulated?
I fear that because I can, you know, the psychology is so not the word psychology. The politics are so inhuman that people might, you know, fight for environmental regulations. Then along comes the company, which has, first of all, they can buy the politician, the issue of the old, like, taking John Edwards. Here, finally, is a man who has enough money to maybe not have to be owned by the, well, you know, think any large corporation, right? In other words, 100 years ago, it was a done deal. 50 years ago, it was a done deal. These people bought the politicians. I know they still do it with lobby groups, Eric, but I'm saying, in the case of John Edwards, you'd think maybe here's somebody who he has enough, you know, enough money has given him the ability to not have to, you know, what's the word? Whore, prostitute, you know, to the corporations. Be bought off, be controlled by. And I'm just saying, in West Virginia, when you said the Democrat thing, I'm thinking that's because it's been the union fight around the coal mines has produced Democrats, generally speaking. Now I'm thinking that when that person said the local politicians are against environmental regs, that's from doing the guesswork now. That's probably because the propaganda is such, they say those damn environmental regs are preventing us from creating more jobs for you.
Okay, but do you think Hillary Clinton stands against environmental regulations? I don't see very much of a difference between the two platforms of the two of them.
I'm not speaking to that issue. I was just speaking
right.
Okay, now, I think the Clintons or Obama, as a Democrat, are going to be, this is like, for me, the big difference between the Dems and the Republicans. Oh, by the way, pet peeve of mine, you know, I hate the media when they call them Democrat Party. Isn't it Democratic?
I think you're right. I think you're right. Yes,
it's not the Republic Party. Republicans versus I'm just saying this is another example, a small example of Orwellian fascist speak, courtesy of say Sean Hannity.
Or just people don't know how to speak. Yeah,
right.
Definitely.
They're Democratic.
All right, I'll make notes when I watch them. Listen, we're down to our last 30 seconds or so. So any other comments? Okay, I guess not. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Make it quick.
Yeah, how you doing? I wanted to ask you a question real quick.
First
of all, love the show, et cetera. And the whole thing about Burma, okay, if they don't want any of the aid from this country or any of that other country for that matter, why do we keep pushing the issue?
I think it's all about PR, you know, public relations and looking good to the rest of the world. But also, there is a genuine need to want to help people and frustration when that help is not spread around in a fair way.
That country's really done nothing for us. The only thing that good that country's ever given us is the chick from Bow Wow Wow. That's about it.
Okay. Well, that's going to have to be our closing thought for the day. But, yeah, I suppose that might be a significant contribution. I'll check into that. It's... Hopefully, it's also a way for people in that country to kind of, wake up a bit. Not that they haven't woken up, but actually get some change done. Because when something like this happens and your country does not respond, well, it's time that you kick some asses. Of course, we didn't take the cue when Katrina happened, but maybe next time. All right. That's going to have to do it for us here tonight. I don't know about you, but I've pretty much had enough. And for those of you along the way to Dayton, Ohio, you might see us as we head out that direction. For the rest of you, write to us, otw@2600.com. Good night.
You were under the impression that when you were walking forward, that you'd end up further onward. But things ain't quite. You got altered information. You were told to not take chances.
serious.